the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to Journey number 71 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring Night Waking by Benjamin Rosenbaum. I am your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in Turner, Oregon. I think I nearly say every week that I'm excited to bring a story to you, and that's the case today as well. This is a great little story, but it also has a purpose. This story was first published in Flytrap magazine, which was co-edited by Heather Shaw and Tim Pratt. But they stopped publishing Flytrap magazine in 2008, when their son River was born. Now, they're wanting to start the magazine up again, and they're running a Kickstarter campaign to fund the first issue. And so as a promotion, I asked Tim and Heather if I could include a story on my podcast that was one of their favorites from their previous publication. And Heather soon got back to me with this story by Benjamin Rosenbaum, and I'm glad to bring it to you today. Benjamin Rosenbaum was born in Long Island, New York, and was raised in Arlington, Virginia. As he was growing up, he decided that he wanted to be a superhero, a scientist, or a writer. And he tried for many years to be a writer, and submitted, even starting at the age of 13, to magazines like Amazing Science Fiction and New Yorker and many others. And after many rejection slips, he gave up. He stopped submitting things. He gave up writing cold turkey, he says. After that, he became a computer programmer. He worked for many software startups and even created an online game called Sanctum. He also traveled a lot, and he met his future wife, Esther, in Switzerland. He has also since been blessed with 2 children, and he has also, obviously, started writing again. He attended the Clarion West Writers Workshop in 2001, and this time he didn't let the rejection slips get him down, and he has been successful at selling stories. In regards to his current views upon writing, he says, "Typically when you ask writers why they write, they look at you dourly and say, 'I have to, I am driven to do so. If you do not absolutely have to write, spare yourself this misery.' Not me," he says. "I don't have to write. I write because I love it. I'm grateful for every minute I get to do it. It's like being a superhero, but you don't need a costume." So now, come with me, and let's journey into a peaceful night's rest. Night Waking by Benjamin Rosenbaum.
Daddy!
Most nights, I'd lie nestled against my wife's body a little longer, my nose pressed into the collar of her silk pajamas, my hand cradling her belly, to see whether my daughter will roll over and go back to sleep on her own. Tonight, though, I've sat up and have my feet tucked in my slippers before she finishes the word. I'm shuffling down the hallway before she calls again, and then I whisper call, "Shh, Squiggle, I'm coming." I'm thinking I'll just take Rachel back to our bed, but she's sitting bolt upright, her bottle clutched in both hands. She has these fancy pigtail braids that stick up and out from the sides of her head like antennae. Miss Fatima does them at preschool. I can't take her back in there wide awake. She'll wake up Miriam and little Max. And if she starts crying, we'll be up an hour from now. "A normal night," Miriam said, like a normal night, with all of us asleep. I sit down next to her.
Is a lion coming?
She says. No, Squiggle, I say. I lie down. She plops down too, burrows down under my shoulder with hers. No lion is coming.
Can we say the poem?
I know which poem. Rachel has been thinking a lot about death lately, even before the rest of us. I should say, shh, no, go back to sleep. But I don't. We say it together.
Mother, mother, I am ill. Call the doctor on the hill. Doctor, doctor, will I die?
Yes,
my dear, and so will I.
I brace myself for her to ask the next question. When will I die, Daddy? The right answer is, only when you're very old, I hope. I don't know if I can make myself say it. Instead, there's a soft hiss of her drawing on the bottle. I turn my head a little. I can see her drooping eyes clearly in what's probably still just moonlight. I watch her tiny, perfect face, the round lids of her eyes, the tiny curve of her nose. For the moment, it's enough. Contentment is the last thing I expect to feel tonight. But I am just a camera framing the image of Rachel's face, and contentment overwhelms me. The bottle pops out of her mouth, and her eyes open.
Daddy, what's a disasteroid?
An asteroid is a big rock that goes around the sun in outer space. Bigger than a comet, not as big as a planet. I smooth the hair around her braids with my fingers.
Is a disasteroid coming to my house?
I use the stern daddy voice. Squiggle, it's the middle of the night. It's time for sleeping.
Can I have some milk?
No. Shh. Sleep.
But it's light outside.
No, it's the middle of the night. Shh.
Can you tell me the story about Rachel and Katie?
Shh.
Can we go to Mommy?
I can't refuse her that. Do you promise to be super quiet and not wake your brother?
Can I touch Max?
No. Max is asleep. Otherwise, we stay here.
No. Okay, I'll be super quiet.
I scoop her up, one hand under her knees, the other at her back. She's so much bigger than she was a year ago. She wraps her arms around my neck. The plastic nipple of the bottle is clamped between her teeth. I maneuver her through doors. Miriam pulls the covers aside for us. Max is at the wall, sleeping with his arms held straight up, like stocks. He grinned at me today. I remember exactly how it looked. Exactly. I put Rachel down, and she scoots over to Miriam. I get in next to her.
Is a lion coming, Mommy?
She asks sleepily.
No,
Miriam says, her voice a little hoarse.
No, lion.
Rachel reaches out one hand and sticks it down my sleeve. She drags her fingers across the hairs of my forearm, rubs her wrist against mine. Eventually, she sleeps. I turn my head to look at the clock.
What time is it?
Miriam whispers. 3:15, I say. An hour and 5 minutes to go. I sink back onto the bed. Through the bedroom window, the leaves of the trees are limned with silver. She reaches across Rachel and lays her hand on my cheek. I kiss it. Miriam's eyes are bright with tears.
We did a good job,
she says. Yes, I say. Outside, the light is getting brighter. This story really hit home to me, not because I'm afraid of an asteroid coming to destroy the Earth while I sleep tonight, but I can definitely relate to the feelings of a father, trying to stay calm in the midst of a disaster, trying to keep his family and his children feeling safe and secure in their home, and caring for them and not wanting them to be scared. So I guess covering the cast of characters, I'm grateful that my wife Kelly and my daughter Nicole could help me out with this story. It made it even more closer to home. And Nicole was actually the perfect choice for this because she often wakes up in the middle of the night screaming or screams in her sleep. Not necessarily that she's scared. She'll do that once in a while if she has a bad dream or something like that. But most of the time, when she screams in the middle of the night, she's yelling at one of her siblings. Most often, her sister. And she won't even be awake. She'll be yelling in her sleep. And she'll be very angry and very upset. And we find that kind of humorous. But often, if she's upset for too long, I'll get up out of bed and walk down the hallway and go talk to her so that she'll wake up and realize that she was just having a dream and she can be peaceful and go back to sleep. And so I could really picture that scene well in my mind as I read it in the story. And it really is a tender piece, and you really get the sense of the love that these parents have for their children, as well as their sadness in knowing that it's all about to come to an end. It kind of reminds me of that scene in the movie Titanic with the mother and her two children, and she has them in bed with her, and she's just holding on to them and telling them to think good thoughts and to that they're together and that's what matters, and knowing that they will be drowning as this ship sinks. And you know, different people respond to disasters and crises in different ways. You know, some people would panic or yell and scream or fight it to the very end. But this family decided just to try to sleep peacefully through the night. So I can see why this is one of Heather Shaw's favorite stories that they ran in the previous editions of Flytrap. And that's why I'm hoping that this will inspire you to go to the Kickstarter campaign and become a backer of this project for the new Flytrap magazine. I'll definitely link to the Kickstarter in the show notes, but you can also just go to Google and type in Flytrap Kickstarter and it'll get you there. Here's a little bit of what they say in their Kickstarter. From 2003 to 2008, they published 10 issues of Flytrap, and that included stories, poems, and essays by writers like Barry Anderson, Elizabeth Baer, Stephanie Burgess, Jeffrey Ford, M.K. Hobson, Nina Kariki Hoffman, Jay Lake, Jen Larson, Nick Mamatas, Sarah Monette, Sarah Prinius, Jen Reese, of course, Benjamin Rosenbaum, Liev Tedar, Catherine M. Valente, Jeff Vandermeer, Greg Van Eekhout, just to name a few. And they'd like to publish Flytrap twice a year, and they are seeking sufficient funds to fund their first issue. And they are trying to do a few things differently this time around. And one of those things is that they're wanting to pay professional rates for the content, which I think is a noble goal. Writers should be paid well for their fiction, and I always feel bad when I'm asking them if I can run their stories on the podcast and I'm offering such a small amount of money for it, because I know they deserve more. They will primarily publish the magazine in digital formats, but they are offering print editions of the magazine as well for backers of the campaign that pledge $20 or more toward it. It says here that each issue will feature about a half a dozen stories, a few pieces from a featured poet, and a column by Nick Mamatas, and that they will also include the customary array of miscellaneous oddments and wonders, essays, photos, artwork, cartoons, reviews, and uncategorizable weirdness. So it sounds like a really good magazine. Supporting this is a good thing for writers and readers, and I've backed it, and I encourage you to do the same. And I hope I have better luck with promoting this Kickstarter campaign than I did with my last one. So help me out, and help out Heather and Tim, and help out yourself. Now, I am a little bit late to the game on this. This Kickstarter ends on June 28th, and this podcast is probably going to go out on June 14th, which means there's only 2 weeks, 14 days, to fund this Kickstarter for Flytrap Magazine, especially if you don't listen to this on the day it goes out. So please, when you hear this podcast, go check it out. And if it's something you're interested in, back it. And I'm going to sign out for tonight, but I'll be back next week with the story of some pioneers on an alien world. Until then, stay safe out there and journey on.
Hi, this is Renee Chambliss, and I'm here to tell you that the Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. This means that while you cannot change it or sell it, you are encouraged to share it, however and with whomever you would like. The theme music for the podcast has been provided by Man in Space.